time for Te Pūrongo Pākehi with our business editor, Giles Beckford. Kia ora, Giles, and you have some news about the immediate future of New Zealand's gas production.
Kia ora to you, man. Yes, gas production from several of the country's biggest fields looks set to fall. Today, Contact Energy said its allocation of gas from the Maui and Pohokura fields will be cut by a quarter next year. And Beach Energy says production from the Kupe field will also be reduced. Nona Peltier reports.
The primary issue involves the offshore Pohokura field, where there's been an unexpected and unexplained fall in production. OMV has been investigating why the field's output has fallen by as much as 15% after maintenance work on several wells. In September, a large compressor to increase production from the field, which supplies 40% of the country's natural gas, was switched on. OMV is assessing results and possible remedies, but says the production outlook for the next year is uncertain and likely to be about 40% down on a year ago. Production from Maui next year is expected to be steady. Meanwhile, Beach Energy says the Kupe field's offshore platform has a problem which will also reduce gas production. An oil and gas lobby group, PEPANS, says natural gas supplies are at risk and is calling for greater flexibility in gas permits. This is Nona Peltier.
The government's intention to push on with a crackdown on lenders will result in more unnecessary red tape. That's the view of one lawyer. Minister of Commerce and Consumer Affairs David Clark has confirmed this morning that before loans are made, lenders will need to make sure the product is suitable for the client and ensure the lending won't get the client into financial hardship. The announcement is being backed and hailed by budgeting advocates. However, Simon Jensen of law firm Buddle Finley, who's worked in the field for 25 years, says the rules protecting vulnerable consumers already exist, and more rules will only make it harder for lenders to do their job.
It's more red tape for the good guys. My view, and this is probably consistent with the Australian approach, for example, is right now the government needs to be putting everything through a lens of, will this aid the economic recovery? Will this help New Zealand keep moving? The people who are going to help New Zealand keep moving are the lenders. The Reserve Bank and others, through their funding for lending programs and other things, acknowledge that we need to get credit out into the markets. This will not help us. This will make it harder. The Australians, for example, have taken the complete opposite approach, and they've removed the prescriptive requirements and decided to rely on the general ones to make it easier for lenders to make credit available to small business and consumers that need it. Which is why I think, you know, what we're dealing with is a 2019 problem when the 2020 problem is different and nobody's put the right lens over how to deal with it.
Simon Jensen says the focus should be on getting money to people who need it, not stopping money going to those who don't. The economic effects of COVID-19 is expected to plague the country's businesses for longer than their global counterparts. A survey by the HSBC Bank shows nearly two-thirds of local firms are doubtful they'll return to pre-COVID levels of profitability in the coming year. That's compared with about half of businesses globally. Furthermore, the survey shows local firms are less optimistic about the prospects of sales growth over the next 12 months. The bank's interim chief executive, Rob Rowan, says firms overseas are more bullish because they didn't have to stop trading during the pandemic.
So I think, you know, 36% is an encouraging number, particularly given, I guess, the severity of the lockdown that, as we all know, we underwent in New Zealand. There's possibly also a little bit of natural conservatism coming through in those responses, because, yes, you're right, on the global corporate survey, 45% of those expect to return to their pre-COVID levels of profitability by the end of next year.
That's Rob Rowan, Interim Chief Executive of New Zealand Operations of HSBC. A recent Court of Appeal ruling suggests companies should keep a closer eye on what their employees are doing to avoid higher penalties if they break the law. Steel & Tube was recently fined $1.5 million after one of its employees misrepresented the strength of reinforcing products. Court of Appeal overturned lower court rulings, which said that the employee's intention to deceive could not be attributed to the company. Well, Sam Heibendahl of the law firm Bell Gully says the ruling increases the pressure on businesses not only to be accountable when a staff member does wrong, but to stop them doing wrong in the first place.
And in particular, if that employee committed the conduct with an intent to deceive, then that is very likely to increase the fine that would otherwise be imposed. So I think the Court of Appeal judgment really highlights the need for companies to have robust compliance measures in place, not only to prevent this conduct from arising in the first place, but if unfortunately it does occur, then the existence of this kind of robust system, a robust compliance system, can be a mitigating factor when the court is looking to impose fines.
That's Sam Hybendahl from law firm Bell Gully. Let's catch up now with financial markets, joined by Brad Gordon from Hobson Wealth Partners. Good afternoon to you, Brad. How's the local market looking?
Well, a fairly strong lead from offshore again has helped the NZX 50 index up 0.4% or 47 points at 12,777. Amongst the major movers, Gen Taylors are really leading the way today. Contact Energy up 10 cents at $7.96 and Meridian up 10 cents at $6.54. Elsewhere, Auckland International Airport up $7.71, A2 Milk up 7 cents at $14.28. Fletcher Building continues its strong run of late, up 7 cents at $5.83. Fisher & Paykel Healthcare is down 34 cents at $35.17. Kathmandu up 1 cent at $1.24 after sort of recovering from the CEO resignation earlier in the week. A strong showing from Pushpay up 6 cents or 8.5% at 76 cents. And Spark is down 3 cents at $4.59.
What's it looking like in Australia?
A fairly solid open for the S&P ASX 200, currently up 14 points. It's 6,602. The banks have been really strong lately, though are selling off a little bit today. Commonwealth Bank down 64 cents at 79.61. Westpac down 8 cents at $20.20. BHP up 62 cents at 39.18. And Telstra down 2 cents at 3.07.
New Zealand dollar looks strong still, so?
Very strong. It is buying 95.76 Australian cents, 70.68 US cents. Against the Japanese yen, 73.69. Against the Great Britain pound sterling at 0.5264. And against the euro at 0.5856. The New Zealand trade weighted index at 74.4.
That leaves us with interest rates, oil and gold.
Yeah, sure. The 3-month bank bill rate at 0.28%. 10-year government bond rate still continues to tick up at 0.915%. Brent crude at $47.29 and spot gold at $1,815.
Thank you very much. That's Brad Gordon from Hobson Wealth Partners. One other item of business news this lunch hour. Stock exchange operator NZX is expecting its operating earnings to be at the top of its forecast range of $30 to $33.5 million. That's it for now. News numbers updated in Checkpoint around 5:30. But for now, that's Business Money.